The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
I don't know about all that.
Pick the right episode to be sick. We got some big ones this time, but okay. Wow. All right, now screw it. Let's go. Let's jump into it. Hey, everybody. This is the NPC Gaming Podcast. Welcome. This is where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. There are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There are a lot of NPC podcasts out there. To them, we say, don't forget to bring a towel. Now, I am your host, Anthony Fuentes. It's been a long time. I have been abroad for a few weeks, and of course with me is now James Brizuela.
Howdy.
Hey, there you go. And the very, very ill Dennis Reynolds. No, Alex Cordova.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny. Well, we have a big break here, which actually happened to coincide with one of the biggest probably news drop a couple of weeks in gaming this whole year. So yeah, wow, kind of fucked up a little bit there, but you know what, plans were in set. So with that, we have so much news. We're gonna just run through a bunch of quick bits. You guys want one of you guys want these, or should I just roll with it?
Do it. I'm barely gonna be able to say mine.
Just do it. Gotcha. All right. We're doing it. Hey! So, some of the quick bits here. The Evil Dead, the game, cancels Switch version and announces no DLC or updates. Elder Scrolls 6 is now officially confirmed to be skipping the PlayStation 5. Asmussen leaves EA Jedi series. Of course, Mortal Kombat 1 on the Switch disappoints to say the least. That's going to be a fun one to talk about. Okay, and the Division 3 is officially in development at Massive Entertainment. And of course, Capcom has very publicly stated they will gracefully decline any acquisition offer from Microsoft in a very Martin Prince move. Borderlands developer Gearbox is up for sale, and the new iPhone 15 Pro can play PS4 level games in 720p. There you go.
I didn't add that, just so you know, James. That wasn't me.
Oh, yeah. All I can say is the iPhone Pro can play PS4 games, but the Nintendo Switch can handle Mortal Kombat 1.
No, there's a big gap in time difference between them, yes.
Nah, dude, that's not an excuse.
Yeah, that Mortal Kombat, again, we'll do our thoughts on the quick bits here. That Mortal Kombat memes have been fucking hilarious, because, they definitely... overshot their load there a little bit on the Switch. That's one of my fails too, is just Switch hardware in 2023 is in the decline, and that's the biggest evidence right there. Damn. And of course, you know what, we were saying this shit about horror movie games and like with the text chains and all that stuff. This is what happens when they're not supported,
like oversaturated, dude.
This is what? Sorry, Evil Dead, I'm sure it's a fun game, but just, yeah, how expected.
I played the tutorial and never touched it again after I bought it for Natalie, because she can't handle creatures running after her in video games.
She's like, I want this game so bad. Okay, this game is terrifying. Never mind, let's not go.
Yeah, 100%.
What I don't understand is, this is the thing, and I know the answer, it's a stupid question, but all these games that came out after Dead by Daylight are not better than Dead by Daylight, so...
Yeah.
It's like, I think they that's why they're pulling the licensing too for Dead by Daylight, because they want to make their own versions. But it's like, no, we don't want that. We want all the horror icons in one game, which is called Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, give us the horror Avengers. But we want that streaming money.
And all these, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Evil Dead, I think even, what was the new one? Scream is rumored to be getting...
No.
What are they called? Asymmetrical?
Yeah, gaming? Asymmetric, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Color me not surprised, but...
I would say the biggest, most disappointing quick bit here has to be Mr. Stig Asmussen leaving EA, the Jedi series, because... really quick additional quick bit that nobody added is that Cameron Monaghan recently announced that a third game is in development. So
who is that? Who is Cal? Tell people who that is, dude.
Oh my God, Cal Kestis, shut up. Anyway,
for the casuals.
God damn, dude. Anyway, so let's just call him the star of the series. Mm-hmm. Just announced mm-hmm. a trilogy, or will be a trilogy, and it's kind of upsetting because the main guy behind the first two is gone. So, don't know what that's gonna do to the series. Don't know if it's gonna be like kind of. It's gonna tank the reputation. Not that they could possibly, but it's a little troublesome.
Yeah, it's like it kind of felt like it was his baby. Like it felt like he's like the auteur of it, you know? Kind of like.
Well, I mean, like we've brought it up before. Like without the issues of you know, the crashing and all that. Mm-hmm. Number two is better than number one, but now the guy that did that is now gone. So that's kind of real shitty.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I don't know. It's like Christopher Nolan not doing the third Batman or like right. someone. Yeah. It's yeah. like, okay.
Well, they might get lucky because Stig was part of the whole God of War trilogy, the OG one. Uh-huh. And each one of them had a different director. It was Balrog, David Jaffe, and then Stig Asmussen did number three.
So maybe, but was it the same like director though? Like, I mean, the same person?
No, they were all the directors for each one, but they all had
a same team, though, huh?
Yeah,
that's what I mean, though. Yeah, same team. So, okay. if there was somebody there that was like they were all consulting, that's what I'm worried about. Because if he's gone, like that sucks because he's not going to be able to consult to like, you know, because I feel number two did everything, took everything from number one, but like expanded on it like tenfold. So it's like I don't know. I feel like without him, they might. Not do that, they might kind of screw it up a little bit. I don't know. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, I think they might get lucky, but yeah, when I saw that too, I was like, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah. I mean, who knows if he's out of ideas or if maybe it was an abrupt one because the glitch stories and all that stuff may have really stacked on. You know how EA is. They're pretty easy to discard.
Or, I mean, it could have been creative differences from the jump. Maybe they're like, okay, well, we saw what you did with the first two, but this is we like fucking the dude that wanted to make Superman Lives. He's like, okay, so Cal Kestis is gonna have to fight a giant spider. And Stig's like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah. He's like, okay, so he would kind of kill that in one shot. No. It's a big spider.
Yeah, it's a four spider. It's a four spider.
It's a four spider. And it's big.
We also want to introduce some monetization too. So maybe if the spider is too hard, they can. Just pay.
Yeah, so I hope that's not the case. If because that would be even shittier because it's like, dude, like you should let him finish the trilogy.
Yeah, no, he's like, and they wanted to turn to a battle royale game. Nope, done. Right, done.
I guarantee EA is gonna try to make it multiplayer for some stupid fucking reason.
Oh yeah, it's EA for you right there. I do look Capcom shade real quick though, just being like, he definitely did the Martin Prince thing to Bart. He's just like, now Bart, I need you to promise not to fall in love with me too. He's like, yeah, don't buy us. Oh, that's great.
He's like, not everybody's scoring on me.
Yeah, for Phil Spencer's just like, everybody's scoring on me now. Oh, Capcom. Oh, that's hilarious.
I think Capcom was like, dude, there's no amount of money you can give us that's going to outweigh the money we already make by ourselves and have you, like, hovering over our decisions because the Resident Evil universe is so fucking massive and makes so much money. Like, they don't need to be bought by anybody. They're not Gearbox. No offense to Gearbox.
Yeah, it's, if they're anybody gonna exploit our property, it's gonna be me.
Basically.
Yeah. Oh yeah, poor Gearbox though too.
No thoughts on the Elder Scrolls 6 though? Huh?
Nah, dude, we already said that was gonna happen. I don't give a shit.
Honestly, like, yeah, go. Please, James, please.
I was just gonna say, look, man, it's not gonna come out for another 5 years, so I don't even care at this point. Like, they entered production barely. After they announced it, how many years ago at
E3?
Yeah. 5 years ago? And then they're barely in production.
That was a whole pandemic away, dude. That was a whole pandemic away.
They're in production now, and every video games take, some of them take fucking forever to do.
Yeah.
Like, they were saying, God damn it, I just saw it today. It took 11 years to make.
Starfield?
You know.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm pulling that up, Jamie.
But I mean, come on, like, we knew this was gonna happen.
Diablo 3 it said, but that's not what I was meant. It was some fucking new game, but yeah, whatever. It took forever for it to be made, so it's like, and you know, they've already been taking this long to even conceptualize it, so who knows, like, all the issues they're gonna have and, like, next gen stuff, and, you know, I don't know.
I mean, the engine in Starfield is pretty good, but I'm gonna go ahead and say it right now. Hot take. Starfield, kind of bland. So
I don't think it has the same legs as Skyrim or, like, Fallout.
Nope.
3 or 4, you know?
Like, doesn't got the charm. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, it doesn't have things to do in it. It's
kind and of like, yeah. It's now the lowest rated Bethesda game below Fallout 76.
Oh, that one hurts. Yeah. Kind of makes me want to play 76 again, though.
It's almost as if somebody on this podcast said that it was going to be a bore. Weird. Fucking weird.
Oh, my thing was, I was like, okay, cool. When I get back from my vacation, I wanted to play the game. And then, like, I thought about it, and I just kept playing more Zelda. And I'm like, now I'm good. I'm okay.
I went back to play it after I downloaded the new Cyberpunk update, which is on the Xbox. It's all 60 frames per second, fucking ray tracing, looking sick. And then, like, I boot into Starfield, and I'm like, God, I hate that this is 30 frames per second. Like, go jump. I'm telling you, jumping literally from Cyberpunk into Starfield is like, oh my God.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going back. I don't want to play a first person shooter at 30 frames per second, dude. I'm sorry.
while with the D&D group, I asked if anybody had purchased Baldur's Gate 3. More on that later. But Ruben, shout out to Ruben, said that he bought Starfield instead. And his summation of the game, he's like, it's really cool and it's basically space Skyrim. But the space combat is like too much. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah, like, it's, like, a lot. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of why I wasn't really, not really a big fan of, like, you know, Black Flag or Odyssey and stuff, where it's, like, there's just too much being in the ships. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you got to deck out your ship a lot, too.
Exactly, and I don't like that, because I'm like, I'm trying to play an assassin. I'm an assassin, not a boat assassin. Like, come on.
Not a boat. I like that.
I'm just saying, so, like, yeah, it's the same thing. Like, if you're going to make a game that's, and I understand the space exploration aspect of it, but for me, I don't want to get stuck in a dogfight if I'm trying to go to a new planet, and that keeps happening over and over again, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot, I'm telling you, there's a lot of, I can see why there's a pull, but I ain't got the time for this kind of game anymore, and it doesn't have the capitalism commentary like Fallout does, and it doesn't have that epic, like, holy shit, I'm gonna fuck something up feel that Skyrim does. Like, it's just missing something. And kind of makes me want to play Mass Effect again, to be honest with you. But, any other thoughts on the quick bits before we move on?
I don't know. Just real quick, I mean, Mortal Kombat 1, the images of it on the Switch are so unbelievably funny. And then it even warranted a response from our boy Ed Boon. He's like, don't worry, we will fix it. I'm like, no, you won't.
Yeah.
It's a Switch, dude. You're not going to fix anything on that console.
Oh,
I'm kind of interested in what the Division 3 is going to be, just because of a little news bit. I think it's a fail you have later, Fun, because I believe it runs on that engine. It uses something with Unity, though.
Maybe
Frostbite's EA's engine.
Frostbite's EA's.
Yeah, it is Unity, then. Maybe it is. I don't know. I just remember when I boot up Ubisoft games, that Unity shit pops up, so...
Yes, they're one of the main users of that, actually. So,
I'm interested to see what they're going to do with that now, if they're going to just totally, like, have to revamp it now. After that, but we can get more into that later.
Oh, we definitely will. Definitely will. And then that last one, too. We're still, I think, pretty far away from playing console games on our phones for reals. So, you know, 15 Pro, very interesting stuff. I ain't never going to sit my phone down, hook up a controller, and it just doesn't feel
right. I don't want to use my phone for that.
I'm not with that. I need that shit to, like, you know, manage my life. So
I don't want my battery to last for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, so we had three big ass things happen for the big three. Two state of play, direct, like, kind of things, and then also probably the biggest leaky rumor we've ever had. And they're all confirmed. So let's start with the positive stuff. How about that, huh? Hey.
So Sony had a little state of play out of nowhere. I think they only gave people like 4 days advance notice, but
yeah, turns out it was that out of nowhere for sure.
Yeah, yes,
pretty much. So it turns out Sony isn't having any trouble getting software on the dominant PlayStation 5, which now comes in a couple more colors. What, like blue, red?
Red, white, and blue, baby. Red, white, and blue, and a little silver in there.
Mm-hmm. Fucking Japan and America, dude. We're going to take down wherever Microsoft is from.
That's great. That's a taunt to the American company, too. It's just like, hey look, we're using your colors, and we're beating you.
I was going to say wherever Ubisoft is from, but, you know, that's just one of the developers.
Yeah.
So, some of the games that showcased on Sony's latest State of Play include Avatar, Frontiers of Pandora. Meh. Helldivers 2, though.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Yay. Tales of Arise, Beyond the Dawn, and more. Major showcases, though, were focused on Spider-Man 2, the surprise drop of Resident Evil 4's DLC Separate Ways.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that clap was applause or some other type
that
of
was clap. That was applause right there, baby.
And the release date drop for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming February 29th, 2024. And holy shit, that trailer looked absolutely like we're playing Advent Children now. So, I'm all about it. That was my win for that state of play.
Yeah, that's, I mean, honestly, this is Sony just being dominant here. Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
I'm over the moon for Helldivers 2. Like, it was a top-down... It was already fun as a top-down, like, 2D game. Like, it wasn't... There was nothing, like, graphically special about it, but now they've turned it into a third-person shooter that looks, like, unbelievably good. And, oh my god, I can't wait to play it. Like, it was such a fun game for us. Co-op-wise, we would all jump on and, like, you know, try to take down a bunch of bugs, and it looks awesome. And that was, like, one of the biggest surprises that got dropped at E3, right? I thought it was.
Yeah.
And yeah, earlier this year.
Yeah, and then now, like, the more gameplay they show, like, they showed a boss for the first time and, like, how you're supposed to take it down. And that game just, it looks fucking awesome, and I can't wait.
My only, like, hesitation about that game is that it's online only, which we all know that means it has a shelf life. You can still go back and play Helldivers 1 right now offline if you want, but, you know, when they start doing this shit online only, that means that the game, you know, they can take it off whenever they want. But other than that,
there's a risk factor. There's a risk factor there.
Yeah. Pay no mind to these hypocrites.
You know? But yeah, no, it looks good. Spider-Man 2's gameplay looked lit. I mean,
oh man, after the panel, I've been sold in that panel. I was like, yeah, dude, that's a day one. Like, I'm pushing everything to the side again when that comes out.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then what was also a surprise was the, you know, RE4 remake DLC, which is only dropping for $10.
Yep.
God, such a fucking steal.
Yeah.
Wait, so what you're saying is it's not a 15-year-old game. They're not calling it a conversion, and they're not charging $60 for it. That's what you're telling me?
Yep.
Oh, wow. But they're also not doing the Capcom thing where they remake that third entry with that 3-hour game.
Yeah, people are literally saying, like, you should have just did RE3 remake as a DLC and charged us $20 for it, not fucking $60, which I remember saying that back in the day, is that, yeah, this game isn't worth $60.
I think this is meant to make up for RE3 for the fans. Yeah. It definitely feels like that.
And then I also saw, I'm not sure, do you need Separate Ways to get Wesker in Mercenaries? Because I saw his
gameplay. No, that was a free update.
Oh my god, it's bringing back the RE5 Wesker.
That update already dropped, and then Separate Ways is coming out. Yeah,
Ways is out now.
Separate Ways is out, yeah.
Oh, okay, my bad. So
I've been playing it this whole day.
Yeah, you can play as Ada and Wesker in Mercenaries right now, and then Separate Ways is finally out as well. Again, Capcom said fuck you to Microsoft because of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm gonna buy the hell out of that. I'm not gonna be able to play it for a while, but I'm buying the hell out of it.
I love it. It's like, we're gonna drop it in Sony's conference, and you can't buy us. You cannot buy us.
Yeah, and then I think the original Separate Ways was like an unlockable game mode, which is, you know, but it was only like 15, 20 minutes. It wasn't a full-edged semi-game, right? I think this is...
No, it was longer. The Assignment Ada was 15-20.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's going to be as long as RE4, but it's going to be a good chunk because...
It's five to six hours.
There you go, yeah. So Ada, because Ada doesn't come in right in the beginning, so to speak. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'm telling. No, I'm literally playing it right now. I'm going to include it more when we talk about what we're playing. But like, this is a very meaty, substantial fucking DLC for $10. Holy shit! Like, it's really good.
There was even people on the internet saying like, I would have given you guys 20, Capcom.
Yeah, seriously. It's like it's fucking big.
Yeah, and like the last DLC they did for RE for Village,
yeah,
it was $20, but they still gave you full campaign, third person. Like,
and the story chapters, right? And mercenary stuff.
And mercenary stuff, yeah, exactly. Yeah. See, Capcom knows what's up, dude.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Capcom's actually been pretty good with their DLC pricing, unlike Rockstar. Shit, that was a fake cough, not a real cough.
Someone's sick of Rockstar shit. Yeah, no, good state of play, though. Good state of play.
Yeah, that Rebirth 2 also confirmed to be dropping at a whopping 150 gigabytes, though. So jeez. But it's coming on two full-edged discs. Well, I think one disc is pure install, and then the other disc is, like, the actual game, so.
Okay. Taking it back to the days of nostalgia when you had to do, like, four discs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they also dropped some story tidbits, too, and said that this game is going to end at the... game is going to end where Final Fantasy VII Disc 1 ended. But, like, the last three discs are going to be pretty much summed up in the one last game. So, yeah, people are kind of like, wow, that's a hell of a lot of a game to cover. But, yeah, the way that they kind of changed the first one into a more condensed story is, like, I think that's what they're going to do for this one.
We'll look forward to Final Fantasy Afterbirth, I'm telling you. It's going to be great.
Actually, yeah, I'm going to
follow up. They do call it.
Oh, it has a very okay afterbirth. Yeah. I haven't even, like, I'm not a Final Fantasy person. I started playing Final Fantasy VII before the remake came out. I bought the remake. I haven't really gotten fully into it, but it's pretty fun. And I love action RPGs. Mm-hmm. And obviously I haven't got the second one, but, like, even watching the trailer, I was like, damn, this looks good. And it's like a 90-hour game or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah. He said, well, the first game, I think I told Leo that I'm replaying the OG Final Fantasy VII, and the Midgar section takes like maybe 4 hours, like from beginning to end, like when I was done with it. And the remake, when I beat it, my time said like 43 hours. So they turned the entire 4 hour section of Midgar into like a fucking 40 hour game when they remade it. So yeah, and then that was me just kind of like doing a little bit of the side missions, but this one they're adding even more side missions and mini games and Golden Saucer, if anyone remembers that from that place is like just an amusement park of mini games. So yeah, I'm pretty sure this one's gonna be at least 100 plus hours easily, they said.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, it looks awesome.
Way to go, Japanese developers. Kill them, dude.
I'm not a Final Fantasy guy per se, but it looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. And then one of James, I want you to have this one because you're very prophetic about what the announcement was. Yep. So please take it.
Nintendo's Remake-a-thon continues. Nintendo's latest Direct, which was also kind of a surprise as well, is full of remakes and a year full of remakes. But there's a clear standout that we have seriously been pitching for a while on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You've been with us since the beginning, episode 2, 3 maybe? I don't even remember when we first brought it up. But Nintendo dropped the motherfucking mic by announcing Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door remaster on the fucking Switch. Oh, my God. I'm going to go out there and say this is arguably my favorite Mario game of all time. Yep. It's an incredibly good game. And for anybody who's never played, like, it's such, like, story-wise, gameplay, everything about it, it's such a good game. I'm so excited.
Obviously. No, same, dude. I missed this one. I've been wanting to do it forever. I played the other ones, and, I don't know. This one is like has a legendary status, you know?
It does, yeah. I mean, the other ones, like, the number one's obviously nostalgic. The newest one's cool, but I hate the combat. And Thousand Year Door is just like the perfect blend of all of them together, and it's just such a good game. But yeah, even more than that is another one that me and Fuad have been talking about for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Luigi's Mansion 2.
Hey, Dark Moon's a good also, game. Great game.
Also coming to the Switch. Mm-hmm. And it was only available on the 3DS before. Being a fan of Luigi and that franchise, me and Fuad have both played it and beat it. And it's really fun, but it's going to be awesome to be able to finally play it on the Switch.
Yeah, and give us one also, please. Come on, just throw one in there.
Just do it already. So yeah, another code is also coming out. I don't even remember what that is, but hey, it's a game. Mario vs. Donkey Kong is coming back, and one of the more the biggest surprises is Tomb Raider. The first three games are coming HD remakes, right?
Yeah, they're getting the HD remaster treatment also. So
yeah,
HD
they're getting the Halo treatment too, where you can switch between the
yes.
graphics.
If you want Lara Croft's boobs to be all pointy, you can have that. And then if you want them to be new, you can have that too. You know, it's up to you.
I mean, I'll flip back and forth and see which is the better one.
And then also, they showed a little bit more of Mario RPG, which we brought up already, and it looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That game's going to be awesome as well. It looks like they did change things up a little bit with the combat. You can do blocking now, and the additional attack power when you time it correctly, because they didn't have that before, correct?
Yeah, I think there was some timing aspect to it, but I'm not sure about the blocking.
Yeah, I think in that one it was you can do more damage, but it didn't like
the blocking
attack.
Yeah,
something like that.
Right. No, that's right, because you can still do the super jump multiple times in Mario, but I don't think you could block damage.
Mm-hmm.
But now they implemented that.
Yeah, I think you can. You couldn't negate it like you could in Mario and Luigi, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're bringing some aspects of the Mario and Luigi games into this new one. Or the this old game. Yeah.
Yeah. And then on the non-remake announcements, there was a surprise drop of F-Zero 99, which is bringing back F-Zero as a battle royale. And if you want to get unbelievably mad at your TV, play it. It's available right now, and it's actually kind of cool. I started playing it. You can't go directly into the 99.
Yeah, they teach you first how to play.
Yeah, they teach you, and it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to go do that, go download it. And then finally, they gave us a look at the newest Mario Kart booster courses that are coming out. And I feel like this is going to be probably arguably one of the best games. Princess Peach Showtime.
Yeah, Princess Peach, you know what? Give her own weird fucking game with its own gameplay style.
You
whatever.
What?
She earned it.
I don't like that condescending giggle you just did, Alex. All right, because this game looks... Yeah, you giggled.
I have the DS Princess Peach game, dude. I played it.
Nah, dude, that was a condescending
giggle. This is different.
Giggle.
This is all different.
Right? That was microaggression? No,
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, dude. Are you saying women can't have their own game? Is that what you're saying here?
Wow. All
right, you know what, people? To prove my non-giggleness, I'll take a picture of my... condition Princess Peach game for the DS that is in my daughter's DS playing. You
it's
know,
all
the
rules,
lie.
Dude.
I
it's all
it.
The rules.
Like, this is the real Showtime right here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No,
anyway.
No, I laughed because the internet's already taken, you know, her game and, like, you know, being rude with it, I guess. Like, there's one, I think there was an animation where, like, her hair changes.
Mm.
And, of course, people are already making memes about it, saying, like, when your man comes home from a bad day and it's Princess, poor little innocent Princess Peach over here and her hair's changing. I'm like,
you
no,
got
it. The
misogynistic God, algorithm it. Already put it in front of you. You're like, hadn't you
anyway,
guys seen all this?
Anyway, for the non-dickheads of the world, it looks fun. I like that they're not making it, like, a traditional, like, they're not making Princess Peach Mario. They're making it completely different. Albeit maybe a little bit racist with the Kung Fu Peach, but hey, whatever. It's okay. But no, it looks awesome.
Cultural appropriation Peach.
Yeah, right.
I think from what I remember that DS game, though, I laughed at it too because there's like her power ups are her emotions or something, dude. So yeah, I was like, man, this is like kind of low key misogynistic, but it's pretty fun.
Oh, Nintendo. They'll
she's
get
like,
it one day.
She's like, Princess Peach casts unreasonable.
No,
I only get this power once a month.
I remember, like, there was an angry emoji on the screen, and when you push it, she gets all, like, that's her flame power or something, I don't know, but I gotta go back and play it to see.
Okay, yeah. No, that's,
please don't cancel this, back, everybody.
Go back and I want to see this. We need to break this bitch down.
I'd like to point out that we were supporting this game from the beginning, okay? And yes. Before all the jokes came out.
There was definitely some enthusiasm there. But no, I think this is a solid direct, but also a clear indicator that the Switch is winding down. And these are the kind of games you announce when, you know, they're easier to develop games, stuff that's already established. Clearly, their resources are going to the Switch 2. But I think they're giving it out with a bang, yeah.
All I know is that if I buy that 1,000-year door, I better be able to play it on the next fucking Switch that comes out.
I agree.
I'm going to be pissed.
I agree. I'm with you on that.
Well, you will buy it on this Switch, and you will play it, and you will love it.
How much is Nintendo paying you, dude? How much?
Nah, dude, they're not paying me. That's when, dude.
Buy it. No, I mean, I'm still a little annoyed that Mario vs. Donkey Kong, like the Donkey Kong rumored game, that was it. That's fine. I bet they're saving the Donkey Kong full game for the Switch 2 as well. F-Zero 99, surprise drop. I'll say a heads up, it actually is a lot of fun. People play it so we get more F-Zero. Let's just put some attention on it. All right, I want more F-Zero.
I think it was a mercy drop, dude, because Nintendo heard everyone saying they want more F-Zero. They're like, here.
It's a monkey's paw scenario for sure. Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, so you know how we released Tetris 99 and just pissed everybody off? Like, let's do that with F-Zero.
Yep.
And I was like, great, now I'm going to play this game, get addicted to it, and be mad because it's hard.
Yeah, right. Although people love Tetris 99.
I played the hell out of Tetris 99.
Dude,
I played the hell out of Mario. Mario 99 was the best one.
Yeah, that shit was great. That was really good, actually. And of course, the booster courses. I don't know. This is gonna be the ultimate Mario Kart experience here. And they gave what, 3 character drops? Was it Diddy Kong? My boy Diddy Kong's up in this bitch. I'm with it. I'm with it.
And they actually announced the final amiibo for the Switch, which we didn't bring up.
Oh yeah, that's Sora.
Yeah, Sora is the final, quote-unquote final amiibo that's great. Dropping for the new Smash Brothers. So,
great. It's going to be so fucking hard to find them then.
Great. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Great.
But, I mean, who the hell wants Sora anyway?
I agree.
Oh,
I agree.
Yeah, that's right. I said, what up, Jim?
Mm-hmm,
what?
Mm-hmm. Buy your little fucking toy.
So that either means one of two things. Or it could mean one of two things. One, that we're going to get a new fighter pass, like we talked about, or two, that they're going to announce a new Smash for the new Switch.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They're going to have to bring up Smash again at some point, and I'm thinking more info is going to be dropping in the next quarter or so. So if it's anything like last time. So we'll see. But yeah, honestly, this is a solid way, I think, to end the Switch's life cycle here. So it's been a good run. Maybe they'll have another surprise down the line, but, you know, if this is it, it's a goddamn good software for, 6 years? However long it's been? 7 by the time the new one drops, so. There you go. Way to go, Nintendo.
All I'm saying is, if they announce a new Smash Brothers for the new Switch, that's going to be a console-selling game.
Oh my god, absolutely.
Just throwing that out there, which all of us will probably run and go by.
That's going to be chaos trying to get that console week one, I'm telling you. That shit's going to be something else. Speaking of chaos, though, we have the most leaky of the leakiest rumor mills possible. So, are you guys ready for this one? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Xbox's entire playbook leaked online. Yes. The entire thing. So, thanks to some misfilings with the FTC, someone's getting fired for that blunder right there, Microsoft's full plans for this entire generation have actually been leaked online. And in terms of the juicy stuff, we can expect a console refresh where the Xbox Series systems will come in tube form and without disc drives. A $99 cloud streaming handheld is also in the works. Bethesda's 2024 releases were leaked, which include, of course, Fallout 3 Remastered, Oblivion Remastered, Dishonored 3, and Doom Year Zero, among a couple other things. And of course, Phil Spencer wanted to buy Warner Brothers. He wanted to buy Valve and Nintendo, with the latter being this man's main prize. And of course, Microsoft's next console is aiming for a 2028 release, but only if they can increase Game Pass subscribers. Otherwise, they are going to be exiting the gaming industry entirely. Whew. Did we miss anything? Well, some motherfuckers added some shit, so yeah. Yeah. I did miss some stuff, apparently.
Wait, what? Hold on.
Well, Red Dead Redemption 2 Remaster is coming as well, as the Indiana Jones game is coming sooner rather than later.
Also, his opinions about the PS5 were part of that as well.
Oh, yeah, yes. Damn it.
Phil Spencer was none too impressed.
Mm-hmm.
He said that Microsoft was going to blow PS5 out of the water.
Yeah.
Dude, those emails were fucking comedy. The one that he said, who did he send it to at Nintendo? Did he send it to the chairman or whatever?
I can't remember.
I read that entire email, dude.
Can you imagine having the type of ego where you're losing to the Switch and you're like, yeah, we're going to buy them. Like,
not only that, he literally said it's taking Nintendo a while to figure out that their future is not in consoles, but it's in software. And he said this during the Animal Crossing phase of the pandemic when Nintendo sold more consoles than anyone ever.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy.
That email was comedy, dude. He's like, we just gotta wait them out. Nintendo will see. They'll come to the the realization. They're gonna lose money. Yeah. And I was just like, wow.
She's gonna realize I'm like the perfect band for her, you know? Like, yeah. Yeah. Oh my. Oh, and also they revealed how much they pay for Game Pass games too, which is fucking expensive.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said something too about it'll be a career defining moment for both Nintendo and me or something, and I'm like.
And me.
What? Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Since when are you on Nintendo? You're not on Nintendo's level. The closest you guys got was the 360.
Yes.
And you fucking blundered that away with the next one, so.
That was a decade ago. Yeah. That was 10 years ago.
Phil Spencer legit thinks that Microsoft is Disney. Like, I don't understand why he thinks he could have bought any of these companies. Well, maybe Valve, but like, come on.
I mean, he has such a pocketbook to work with. You know, like, so yeah. I think he's just thinking, I'm going to throw money at everything and then we're going to win. That's how we win. We win with the money. But, you know, the other two don't have as much money and they're kicking ass. Like, maybe some creativity, I think, would be probably a better angle.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder why they're kicking ass. Oh, because they actually have games to play on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of, I'm very upset because Fallout 3 is one of my favorite games of all time. And Oblivion's amazing, so I'm kind of sad that I won't be able to play those. But not giving Phil Spencer my money, so.
Yeah, he's...
You know what's kind of ironic and funny is that entire plan, did you see anywhere where Halo was mentioned? I didn't. Or Gears of War.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying this since we've been doing this podcast, is they have their Mario, they have their God of War, they have their Spider-Man in Gears of War and Halo, and they just don't use it.
Yeah, like, and they're still trying to get stuff out of Rare and like other developers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't understand how you're not using your flagship titles. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And talking about unexciting console updates, a mid-cycle refresh, it comes in a tube form now. Like, it looks really stupid. Have you seen the images?
Yeah, I saw the image.
Yeah. The thing that the only thing I kind of dig is a $99 cloud streaming handheld because cloud works really well with Game Pass. It's very, very good.
But that's the thing, is that there's already 100 other devices that do that.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't want to put it on my MacBook, you know? I'd rather hold on to it. But, I mean,
Your phone can do it if you buy, you don't even need to buy another controller. You can use a laptop, you can use an iPad, all that stuff. And, I don't know, just this whole, I guess using these dedicated options, but still,
Yeah.
Just do an Xbox handheld, dude, if you're going to do that.
Sure. I know. I think a full-fledged one would be nice. But, you know, $99 is enough throwaway money. I think it'll be okay. In terms of exciting stuff, Fallout 3 Remastered and Oblivion Remastered look fantastic. Dishonored's obviously a very well-up series. And I always am down for more Doom. So, clearly, they made a good decision buying Bethesda for them. I do feel a little sad, though, because in my heart, I literally until James mentioned it right now, I just assumed, and then you can play Fallout 3 and Oblivion, on the PS5, that I totally forgot, and now that actually makes it a little more annoying now, even though I do have an Xbox, but, yeah.
And here's the thing, too, if Phil Spencer was smart, and Microsoft was smart, they would take these originally released Xbox games and put them on the other consoles.
At least the Switch? Fucking...
Right. Well, no. Let's not.
Yeah. Fallout 3 on the Switch. Fallout 3 on the Switch. Fallout 3 on the Switch.
Yeah, right. Because think of Metal Gear Solid. The Metal Gear Solid collection, the remastered collection when they first did it, or whatever, the first collection.
Yeah.
They released it for everybody, and it was amazing. And they're doing it again, you know, with the new remasters or whatever, and it's going to be amazing. And it's like, if they were to do that, if they were to do, like, a Bethesda collection with Oblivion, with Fallout 3, and whatever else they can throw in there, like, that would be incredible, and I would totally buy that collection. But no.
Mm-hmm. No. They don't want you to have fun.
No. No. They don't want money is what they don't want.
I was a little glad that the Red Dead Redemption 2 remaster got leaked, because that game needs to be played in 60 FPS too.
I agree.
And no. Faster loading times, please.
It's,
thank you.
No, it's a conversion. Thank you. Shit. We're not calling them remasters anymore. They're called conversions. Yep. Thank you.
Very good. Accurate. Thank you for being accurate, James. Yes, yep. Yes. That's why we have you on here. That's true. It is a conversion.
Now that you said that, yeah, they actually released it in fucking charges.
They're like, 90 bucks. What? Come on.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That game takes too long to beat. I don't even know if I'm going to get it on freaking the remastered version.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, again, you're right. I don't have as much time to play games as I used to. So I had a really good experience with Red Dead 2. I'll let people play it again for the first time in 16. I think, you know, you guys will have a lot of fun. Have fun. Have fun, everybody. yeah, I don't know. Microsoft here, though, this kind of information, like, people in the industry would, like, spy, do corporate espionage to get this kind of stuff. And it was, like, some fucking intern at a law office or something like that. Like, they did it they played themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be one of the most buffoonish moves in the entirety of this industry. And it's kind of, like, wild that even then, none of this stuff feels too surprising. You know, it seems like retreads and things like that, but it also doesn't feel like they had any big wow factor to their upcoming plans, which is unfortunate because they kind of need that. And what would it be? Just buying other people? Like, come on, Microsoft. Like,
yeah.
You're not going to get more subscribers by 2028 with this playbook.
It's almost as if they should allocate the money they would use on purchasing a company and use it to create, new IPs, or, I don't know, beef up the IPs that you have that everybody loves. Mm-hmm. Just a thought, just an idea.
Yeah. That's good. Good for buying Obsidian. Great job. Disavowed or whatever it was, Avowed, looks fine. But I mean, like, you know, it should look exceptional. They're an exceptional developer.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're not getting the most out of their people. And I really hope, what was that one game? Redfall is not an indicator of things to come. Exactly. Yeah. Any other takes on Microsoft's buffoonery?
They're buffoons. I got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you can see where they bought Bethesda, but that's kind of a weird one to put all your chips in, I guess. Maybe that's who was just available, but yeah, they're really going in all in with Bethesda, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll see, but there you go, Microsoft. Hopefully you can switch things up and maybe we'll get excited again. Then the Mortal Kombat thing. I didn't even put that one. Who wants to, you know, there's unannounced fighters for Mortal Kombat. Ghostface might be on there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, because of the, you know, people data mine, as always. What's up, too, in press one? Jesus Christ.
No, I was going to say, you want to put a little oomph behind that? Yeah.
You might be able to slash people. Mortal Kombat, all those phone fatalities are going to be so good.
Okay.
That'd be good, dude.
Let me do this. So, data miners, Mortal Kombat 1, they dug through and found a bunch of potential DLC fighters. Noob Saibot, Cyrax, the robot version.
Hey.
Kotal, He-Man, Conan, our boy Ghostface, Unknown Girl, whoever the hell that is or is going to be, Jade, Cassie Cage, and Kung Jin. What up?
All right.
And also, too, I believe in the midst of all this Mortal Kombat news,
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It was revealed that Ed Boon tried to get John Wick in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Okay, that's cool.
They could not afford the rights to John Wick.
Yep.
Which kind of upsetting because that would have been amazing.
Yeah. No, they're going to get it, dude. Switch exclusive. Wait till it happens.
Dude, stop. Like, enough. For anybody listening, if you really want a good laugh, please go look at those images.
They're so hilarious.
They are so bad.
Oh, it's some shit for reals, though. But yeah, okay. Yeah, Mortal Kombat 1 again, still, despite the Switch version, it looks like the main console one is just killing it on all fronts. It has the best reviews out of any Mortal Kombat in the last, like, decade and a half or whatever it was. Like, doing it.
Yeah, if there wasn't so many fucking games this year already, I would have bought that day one. But I'm definitely, Black Friday deals, you know, I'm going to be looking for it. Because if it drops to 50 or 40, I'm getting it.
I'm with you.
Coming in November there. But yeah, like we talked about earlier, Spider-Man 2 is my only... It's going to be my only full-priced take-my-money Sony game this year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's a day one.
Yeah. Yep. And then voucher update, baby. I'm just picking Mario Wonder or Mario RPG. Not sure which one yet, so that'll be voucher time, and then we'll figure out from there. But okay, cool. Well, that was the leaky rumor mill. Again, the leakiest of possible ones. And, of course, we got some big-ass news up top. Wow, what a big fucking... time, Jesus.
It's almost like it's 18 inches of venom or something, huh?
Yeah, almost, dude. Anyways.
I want all 18 inches of venom. Next month. I can tell you that much.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are you guys playing? What are you playing? I'm playing a lot, actually, because I had a lot of time on the plane. But, yeah, I'll start. Fuck it. Okay, so, right at the top, the best thing I'm playing right now is fucking Separate Ways. That is an amazing DLC. I forgot how good Resident Evil 4 Remake was. Shame on me. Ada Wong plays fantastically. Very different from Leon. The campaign feels different despite retreading some similar areas. Story's great. The voice acting for Wesker is... I'm really getting sold on this guy. Just for $10, I am astounded. And it still has plenty more hours left. So, you know what? Capcom, I can't praise you guys enough. What a great DLC. I really can't wait to beat it. I think we're going to beat it too fast. So, yeah, I think that's a very isolating sentence. Anyways, so F-Zero 99, also very good.
You had to sneeze right there.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I sneezed and I muted myself right when you said that.
F-Zero 99 is actually a lot of fun, too. Once I got to the 99 part of it, I was like, holy shit, this is chaos. But I'm with it. Pokemon DLC, it's Pokemon. Honestly, it's.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. I got it because I wanted to play it on the plane because I had a 17-hour flight, and I think, yeah, I was. It's just brainless Pokemon time. Really, like the story's so stupid though. It's very stupid. I hate these Pokemon stories so much. I don't care about these children's problems. They are dumb. Just let me catch some shit. Give me some outbreaks. The new map is fine. Yeah, Game Freak, you really gotta step your shit up, honestly. Like, I bought this on a whim, and you're lucky to get that fucking money. But I spent most of my time flying with Tears of the Kingdom. I will say I started progressing a lot more. You know, those games you dick around a lot. With this, like, I was focused on doing dungeons and getting shrines and progressing the story. What a good game. Like, that's just, even just doing that stuff and pushing forward a lot more. Like, they really, it's a meaty fucking game, even if you want to just run through it. I still felt compelled to play it even off the plane, and I was really hungover on Sunday, and it really helped. So, thanks, Zelda. Like, honestly, between this and Resident Evil 4, I don't know what my game of the year is. Like, those two are just substantially amazing experiences. So, yeah. Been eating good this month, so what have you guys been doing?
I didn't get a chance to talk about it last time, but I am playing Baldur's Gate 3. That is all I'm playing because I am obsessed. It 100% deserves the 10 out of 10 that IGN gave it and all of the other great reviews that it's getting. It is an incredible game. For anybody who's not, you don't know much about Dungeons & Dragons, it's basically playing Dungeons & Dragons, except for not being around anybody. they give you the option to either A, create your own character, or to play any of the paths from the characters that are already in the game that you meet, which I think is awesome because, again, it gives you, like, their side of the story, and it's just, I'm barely, I don't know, like, 10 hours in, and it's supposed to be, like, a, I don't know, 150-hour game or something like that.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a really extensive game, but I love it. It's very fun, and so just for anybody who's never played Dungeons & Dragons, essentially, you can do whatever you want to do while you're playing it, but you have to roll for that, and that's what you do in this game. So basically, there was, you know, the whole story about people having sex with a druid that's still a bear, and everybody, and the and the glitch of everybody being extra horny, like all the other NPCs. And it's basically that. Like, but it's funny because you can try to hit on people and then it doesn't work. And some people are really horny towards you and you're like, hey, back off. It's I'm telling you, like, and you can, like, everything that you do has a, there's an action and a reaction. It's just like Dungeons & Dragons. It's an incredible game. I highly recommend it. You don't have to have played the other Baldur's Gate games to get into it. It's a completely different isolated story, and if you've ever wondered about Dungeons and Dragons, play this game. I absolutely love it. It's been so fun. I would say the only drawback is the combat is fairly difficult, but you can also put it on story mode that lessens the combat. If you're not familiar, it's just another way for you to get used to, like, how everybody, all the different classes play. But yeah, it's an incredible game. They're 10 out of 10.
Honestly, sure. You sold me with the horniness factor there. That actually. Yeah.
So if you want to go have sex with a bear guy thing, go ahead.
Yeah. Are there other animal options?
Okay. This is not where I thought the conversation was going to go. Yeah,
relax, seems like a creative game.
Bear fucker.
Bear fucker. Do you need assistance? All right, what you got?
Well, mine's not as exciting as bear fucking and all that, but yeah. Cyberpunk 2077 had a big old update where they revamped a lot of things, and I think they added a whole lot more quests or options and things like that because of the new DLC, which I did not get because I haven't even beat the main game. But, you know, CD Projekt Red, right?
Yes.
Projekt Red.
I don't know if it was CD or last or first, but whatever. Okay, so Projekt Red, they recommended that when you download the new update, if you really want to experience it, you should just, like, restart a new save file. And I was like, you know what? I'm only, like, 8 hours into it, the other file. So I'm like, all right, I'll just do that.
From the beginning? Beginning?
Yeah, because that's how much stuff that they, like, added and tweaked. Okay. So, yeah, I guess they even updated about, like, how the cops react to you if you break crimes and things like that. And just... You know, a whole bunch of graphical updates as well. So I restarted it just because also, too, the thing that I hate when I start that game is I don't remember the story. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. Like, who's this guy again? Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? This can be, like, my Xbox game to play because I don't really have anything to play on there besides Starfield, and that's boring as hell right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, jumping from that clean RTX... ray tracing Cyberpunk update to Starfield is just like, wow. Like, you know, I would much rather have an enjoyable, fluid experience than whatever the hell they were trying to accomplish with Starfield.
Yeah, I bet you would like a fluid experience if I can...
Says the guy who wanted to fuck different types of animals right now.
And I was beating those games too fast.
But yeah, no, I restarted that just because also I beat... I don't know if I talked about it last episode, but I did beat Jedi Survivor, and I was actually been doing some post-game cleanup on that, and yeah, that was an amazing Star Wars game, just through and through. Loved every minute of that one. Ooh. And yeah, I'm kind of just in waiting mode for Spider-Man in a couple of weeks, so I don't want
to... Cyberpunk's a good one to go with that, I think, right?
Yeah, I don't want to get too balls deep in anything right now, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like a bear or a druid.
No, I do just also appreciate that CD Projekt Red really turned around Cyberpunk from those initial reports and glitches and stuff. It seems like people are, like, really on board with this game now. So, way to go. Way to go, guys. And then we just got a couple gaming win of the months here. Mine are pretty easy. And mine isn't, you know, I've obviously I always endorse the Xbox Series. This is the only win you're going to get from me. It's my win only because from the leaks, it looks like it's 70-something percent of the sales are literally the Series S. Which, to me, that's a win because that's an affordable, good console. We need more of that. So yeah, give us more affordable hardware, and I am with it, and I think that should be rewarded. Also, the surprise drop of F-Zero 99 was really cool. I am happy to endorse old franchises coming back in some form. If we can keep this train going and having a nice little twist on it, I'd be very happy. So, you know what? For all the underdogs there, you guys are my wins. So, there we go. Anybody else?
mine is Baldur's Gate 3. I just got done gushing about it, and like, yeah, I think this is like, this is one of the best games I've played in quite a while. That's got me excited, and like, I can't put it down. I need like a little bit of time that I have in between working and whatnot and being at home. I'm trying to chunk my way through it and find random surprises, real quick. Quick story on it. I found a group of goblins that were torturing a gnome, and he was strapped to a windmill. So I got rid of the goblins, and I went to go save him, but I hit the brake release, and then he flew off into I don't know where. And I was laughing really hard. I went back in a previous save file because I wanted to actually talk to him. I didn't mean to kill him, but I accidentally killed him. And that's the kind of stuff that you can do in Baldur's Gate 3.
That sounds pretty good. Okay. Yeah, this is, I've heard there's a lot of hidden shit in that game.
So much. Fucking. Yeah, and some bear fucking. And apparently if you are into interspecies erotica like Fwen, you know, you can...
I'm just curious what the options are.
I mean, there's potions of animal talking, so if you want to flirt with the bird, dude, that's your business.
Jeez. I mean, that's just more options. There we go. Okay. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, my win is just my backlog going down before Spider-Man 2, like I said. So, yeah. You know, chipping away at all win. These games. Yep.
That's a good win.
That's a very good one. That is something that's definitely not my friend over here. So, yeah. My fail's pretty big. So for my gaming fail of the month, it is Unity destroying all their goodwill with the developers that choose to develop with that engine. That's over 60% of games use Unity. Most of them are indie developers who really are just playing with the margins here to give us very creative takes on these games. And their initial pitch here, their initial terms or new terms for the updated version of Unity, absolutely exploitative. Very, very exploitative. Seems like you really, I don't know. They know that they have so many different types of users, essentially, by the balls. And these people are just trying to give us good games. And honestly, like, to me, why would you develop with Unity further if this is the kind of behavior that you know they can expect? Their CEO is notorious for wanting to charge people in Battlefield to reload their gun to get ammo. That's what? The kind of people... You never heard of this guy?
Oh, my God.
He gives Kotick a fucking run for his money. Fucking Kotick!
Kotick!
Yeah. Yeah, him and Kotick are bros, dude. Yeah. No, well, he's that bad.
He wanted to backcharge every game that uses the engine, right? As an installation. Mm-hmm. But he didn't want to charge us. He wanted to charge, like, Xbox or PlayStation. But they would have passed those charges along to us. So they were like... they already have the games installed, so what the frick are you going to do? Make them uninstall it if they don't want to pay you? So,
yeah. Yeah. He's a fucking monster, to be honest with you. This guy's a piece of shit. And clearly the terms themselves were a lot of corporate mandates. So the PR team did their best. They did their best, and it looks like most of those got walked back on. But to me, it's a little too late. They know that most people learn how to make games on this engine. They know that, like they really are invested into the indie scene. They are technically still cheaper than, you know, Unreal and all those other engines, but obviously those are, like, enterprise-level stuff. But to me, that's just a bad sign of things to come for the industry, and I am glad they got shit on by everybody. Fail. Fail for you to Unity. Yeah, biggest fail in a long time, to be honest with you. So, yeah.
My fail is going to borrow from last episode where we talked about the horrific PlayStation Plus price increase.
Yes.
Because it ties into right after that, they released the next wave of games that are part of the extra tier and the premium tier or whatever. And they're arguably the worst collection of games I've ever seen in my entire life.
What, even the extra money didn't go to giving you better software?
Yeah, it's bad. Like, the only one that is remotely interesting is that Nier Automata game, whatever the hell it is.
Oh, yeah.
I started playing it. It's okay. But anyway, because I've never played it, but I keep seeing it all the time. But yeah, it's like, before that, the month before that, they dropped Far Cry 6, and they dropped, like, all these awesome games. And then this, right after the increase, all of the tiers by a ridiculous amount of money, they literally rolled out the worst collection of games they've rolled out since it started. Damn. So they better do something worthwhile next month, because they can't expect to charge that much and not give people premium games again, because that's just not going to fly.
Well, what they want to do is have you have not great games on that, so then you spend your other money on games they're releasing in the fall, and then they'll give you good games again when it's slow. That's how these things work.
Well, you know, they need to stop talking to fucking Bobby Kotick and the Unity dickhead and get their shit together, because
they're so bad.
I wasn't even like upset when I accidentally rolled over the extra tier again this year. I was like, oh, whoops, I didn't mean to rebuy that. But there's so many good games that, like, you know, if I'm just feeling random, I download it real quick and start playing something, and it's fun.
That's why I saw Game Pass. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now, like, it's they took a lot of stuff off and they added a bunch of shit. So yeah, come on, man, you can't charge an additional 30, 50, whatever it is, and give us fucking a ton of indies that, like, nobody's ever heard of. Come on.
Yeah. I'm with you.
My fail, it's gonna be tying back into Mortal Kombat 1.
Oh, but it hurts.
It's not with the whole Switch version. It's with an actual character in there, which is, I think it's Natalia. Natara, played by Megan Fox, absolutely horrible voice actor. Natara, I don't know. Nataria, Nataro, something like that. No, it's not a ro, it's a ra.
Whatever the hell she is, yeah.
Yeah, she's a vampire girl in that one, all right? So, she absolutely horrible voice acting. You guys want to have a good laugh? There's plenty of clips.
I actually have not heard it yet, but I keep seeing the articles about it, so I need to do that.
Yeah,
I'll drop it in the group chat after this, dude. It's funny. It's I want to see stuff. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Keep talking shit on this one. Yeah,
it's just bland. It's fucking just her voice cracks. Even I think in one of the intros.
Oh god.
She's like, "Aren't you scared?" Like, oh yeah, it was pretty bad. But yeah, that was that's a big fail, because people are always talking about how they shouldn't be using actors for voice acting in video games because of this.
We were hyped.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Whoa, J.K. Jennifer's Simmons, body. Dude. J.K. Simmons, dude.
True.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, there's good ones and there's going to be bad ones, but...
John Cena, dude. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, that's our fails right there. And before we head out, we got an absurd headline. I found this hilarious, even though it's more Xbox shitting, it's kind of stupid. Leaked Xbox emails reveal scramble to fill, quote-unquote, huge hole in 2022 lineup. And according to IGN, Phil Spencer had stated to employees on the lack of games, "This is really a disaster situation for us. All we've invested in content across studios and our GP content fund. We need to learn from this and build a better plan forward." Yeah, right back again. They do all this purchasing, all this stuff, and their whole 2022 lineup is just like nothing.
So their fix to this is to announce a bunch of remakes.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Yeah.
Just give them the old stuff. Just give them the old stuff. They'll be happy. Yeah. Yeah, way to go, Microsoft. Oh, dear
God. Yeah, just get out of the gaming business already. Come on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're lucky I love my Series S, but honestly, this is most likely the last Xbox console I'll ever have. Like, it's really that bad. I enjoy my backlog. It's going to stay right on that system. There you go. Jeez. So, yeah, that's it. That's our episode here, episode 16. Sorry for the delay. We all had lives and shit going down, but You know what? Those are some pretty juicy tidbits there. So this is, of course, a production of the Horrible People's Network. You can find all our other shows on there. And, of course, thank you for listening to our Horrible People's Podcast episode on Mortal Kombat 1 with the team. That was fun as hell. And a good time. Of course, there will be more gaming crossovers coming up soon. I'm Anthony. You can catch me on, of course, the Horrible People's Podcast as HORORBLE People's Podcast, and on Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler, which is fun. Yeah, I just chill. That's my thing. Where can people find you, James?
You can find me on the Horrible People's Network playing D&D in a live play campaign called the Turning Tables Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Turning Tables Pod. We are also a production of the Horrible People's Network, so go follow the Horrible People's Network. You will find our D&D podcast, you will find this podcast, and you will also find the Horrible People's Podcast, where I am a guest frequently on there as well.
Very, very true. All right, and Cordova, you okay over there?
Yeah, no, you can find me just recovering from this illness.
Yeah, hopefully, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, my voice was not up to par.
It's okay. No, it's okay. Yeah.
when I'm guesting on the other ones, you know, you guys will know.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's definitely now, enthusiasm here. We yep, talk about Ed yep. Boon all day, you know. I get it. So yeah. Other than that, thanks for listening. Peace out. I'm gonna go play Separate Ways.
I'm gonna go eat and play Baldur's Gate.
I'm gonna go throw up.
Hell yeah.
Hey. All right,
later. Later, guys.